This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, welcome once again to your favorite segment and mine, Thursday Coast, with our dear friend, the founder of DailyCoast.com and Civics with a Q, Marcos Melitzis. Marcos, happy Thursday. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Mark?
Just fine. It is raining. He got a little bit of snow here in New York last night. It's raining.
Oh, it's pouring here in Northern California.
It is.
Which is great. Oh, it's been torrential.
Yeah. Is it raining now?
It is. Yeah.
Seems like you got a little sun in the window back there.
That's just gray.
It is gray. Okay.
It's glare. Yeah. No.
You know, folks, with all the minute by minute bad news that's going on that we see, this has just gotten to be overwhelming. The timeline is overwhelming. Marcos and I were just texting about that the other night. Thought we'd do something a little different today. You all see how beautiful Marcos's home is. Why don't we take a tour of his home and not talk about anything bad? Would y'all see the paintings on the wall? Like, what are they talking about? You want us to talk about the news? No, I don't.
You got my guitars as well.
Yeah. And what is that piece of artwork immediately to the right of the guitar? What is that? It looks like Madonna.
It is a kind of a Madonna-esque painting. It's a Guatemalan artist. I bought this in Guatemala. Obviously I love color and I yes. love texture. So, and obviously orange is my corporate color, but, blues and oranges are my theme. Unfortunately, I can't take the monitor over, but my kitchen is orange. So there's definitely a big orange component in my house, just like Daily Coast.
That's also quite whether you meant to or not, it's also quite a political statement when you have a Madonna of color, you know, because that is an important icon and motif in the Christian faith worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
The Madonna and Child of Color. So yeah, that's beautiful. And it makes sense that's from Guatemala, because there is that belief in that iconography as well of a Madonna and Child of Color.
And then on this side, this is a Honduran artist.
Wow.
And you see the peace lilies, kind of Diego Rivera-esque motif, as you can see.
Yeah.
But if we were on my phone, I could show you. I have I'm Salvadoran, and I spend a lot of time in Central America. So I have a lot of art from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. I don't have any Nicaraguans. Yeah, I don't have any Nicaraguans. But yeah, Honduran, Guatemalans, and Salvadorans is beautiful. The bulk of the art in my house.
And beautiful. You all see the piano that's there. Is that a grand?
That is a grand. That is a Bösendorfer, which is an Austrian brand. It's a 6'6", 6 feet, 6 inches. Mm. So it's a pretty nice grand. When I was really starting off at career wise, that was my dream, was to have one of these. And I was able to buy it, I don't know, about 10 years ago. Right. So it's my prized possession. Both my kids play it. My son is just an absolutely stunning pianist. I compose, so I play and I compose, and sometimes I post that on my Instagram. Some of my songs are on there. And yeah, it's been great to see that as a family sort of project. Everybody has had their moments on that piano. So there's a lot of like love and hard work and accomplishments, like just surrounding that piano, and it's such an important part of my life.
Wonderful. What a lovely home. Folks, that's Turns the Coast for this week. Glad you could join us. I mean, y'all really want to talk about Delos? I mean, I'm kidding. We can talk about Delos, though, even though I will say this.
That's kind of nice, though, Mark.
Isn't it? I told y'all, we were talking about cooking last week. See, I don't mess around. You know, this show will become, instead of Make It Plain, it'll become Make It Gourmet in no time. And guess what? We'll make a lot of money off that. That stuff goes viral. Me and Marco's doing a cooking show. We were just talking about money.
We can talk about my Miranda Lambert special edition Gibson guitar. It's beautiful. Look at that pick card. Yeah,
that's lovely. Now, can you play that as well? Can you play the guitar?
I can, not as good as I can play the piano.
Okay,
but I can. And that's you know, I think it's important for us to find the thing that suits you, and in particularly these next 4 years, we need to take care of each other. Right now, we're in this holding pattern where we're just like being bombarded with shock and awe. Like, it's shock and awe. And we're barely holding on for dear life. And we got 4 years of this. Next year, at least we can funnel that into the midterm elections, right? Like, right now, there's not even a place to really funnel that into. We all need to take care of each other. And whether it's, for me, it's my music. So it's the piano, it's the guitar. I'm actually taking lessons. Not like with the teacher, but like YouTube, right? Like I'm every day I do a lesson and to learn this new instrument. And but I also do yoga and I also exercise and go for walks. And I need to do more hiking. And I haven't lately because it's been raining and other not good reasons, like not like just making excuses. Sometimes I just really don't want to get out of the house.
No, right.
But
right.
We need to, like, we need to be able to recharge and revitalize and be healthy in mind and body, because we got big battles coming up ahead.
Yeah.
And so we need to be healthy. So to me, the piano, but that guitar, because the piano is like, I'll get down and, you know, I can play forever and it's my instrument. But with the guitar, there's like, because I have to learn it. Like I forget about politics. Like, cause I'm like really like practicing a scale, or I'm practicing a new chord or a new technique. And then an hour goes by and I'm like, oh, I didn't think about politics. Piano, it can be like muscle memory. And then my brain will start being like, oh, that fucking Trump.
Like, you know? Right.
So I found learning to be a better guitarist. Like, I can play guitar, but learning to be a better guitarist has been a great way to deal with a lot of the stress of the current political climate. So I really urge everybody to make sure that that they're taking care of themselves and finding those outlets, whatever they may be, finding those outlets to really escape.
So Margo's and I were just texting each other about the timeline. There's a story every minute. I mean, they're not unconscious of that. For example, last night, my friends at DOJ, and as I said to you all, I mean, I was born in Washington, D.C., spent half my life there. Washington, D.C. is a culture where a lot of the local community, especially people of color, have had, you all heard the old term, good government jobs. And you get those jobs in the civil service. Some people, Marcos, could go get a good government job right out of high school. Mm-hmm. And they're about our age now, so they're close to retirement. And everybody is dealing with angst and anxiety and not knowing what to do. So I get a text last night that the media ultimately reported on. Pam Bondi sent 14, last night, 14 all staff emails in a row. Rather than one email with 14 points, all staff emails, all staff email, one after the other. So obviously that's their way to do the shock and awe and overwhelm people.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is doing that with executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fourth estate that we're kind of a part of, but in self-exile, the media, remember, some of them said they wanted Trump back.
Mm-hmm.
Some even in the White House press corps said, we're glad he's back because that helps their industry. Because
they were so bored. They were so bored covering Biden because it was just so normal and no scandals.
Right. And so now the media has benefited with break. If you're logged in all the timelines and all the mainstreamers, every minute, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
He's banning trans. He's banning DEI. Every day it's something different and it overtakes the timeline and you click on it. And so they benefit from that too. So I just want people to understand that all of that is part of the insane dynamic of what this is. So the amok, we know he's crazy. We know he's a sociopath, but it's also having some marketing benefit, and we may yet see some economic benefit. And I'm not saying not to click on it. We want to be aware. But just let you know, that's how many tentacles there are to this foolishness.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
So let's get into your piece, because you wrote about what should Democrats do while Trump is running amok. I I'll just throw this out. For example, I don't know why Democrats don't do what Republicans have always done. When Elon is now in the pay system, him and his minions, teenagers, some of them teenagers,
mm-hmm.
The DEI, all the other stuff, USAID. Why wouldn't Democrats put holds on some of these crazy nominees and to demand some of that stuff be reversed?
So they have. So Brian Schatz, the senator from Hawaii, has put a hold on a series of Trump nominees. Now, a hold is not a magical tool that stops everything. What it basically means that you can't use unanimous consent to move forward. And then so they have to have, you know, the 48 hours, you have to have the cloture vote. And so it just really slows down, gums things down. I think Democrats are really starting to deploy that more and more. Doesn't mean they can stop it, but they can slow down. So you've seen Trump complaining that Democrats are slowing things down and his people are not getting confirmed quickly enough. That's because Democrats are doing that. But the reality is that they have limited tools. They don't have majorities anywhere. And so there's only so much they can do. Like, you know, they're filing suit. The attorney generals in blue states are filing lawsuits against pretty much everything. Pretty much every executive order is being challenged. And so there's a desire from people to do something. Like, why aren't they doing something? Part of it is that it's a limited tool set. Now, part of it is also rhetorical. Like, the difference between us and them is that they have a whole media machine that would scream if Joe Biden did something or if Kamala Harris was president. They'd be screaming about every action she took, right? And so you look at it and you go like, yeah, they're doing something. We don't have that machine. The left has never really invested in that. And so, yeah, you have sites like Daily Coast and you have you know, you, and then you have, you know, Brian Tyler Cohen on YouTube and Twitter. And so you have voices, but we don't have the machine. We don't have a Murdoch spending billions of dollars to build all, you know, omnipresent media machines everywhere. So I think that's what happened. We see them, and it's obvious when you're pissed because you see it everywhere. Then you look at our side and you don't, but you know, Democrats are doing their press releases and their press conferences, and but who's writing about it? Who's covering it? The New York Times yesterday did not have a single story on the Trump administration's coup, you know, by Elon Musk, their coup against the government. It's literally a coup happening right now. They are breaking the law on just about everything. And the courts can't even, the courts are still, you're still filing the first brief from the law they broke like 3 weeks ago.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So it's, so at some point, so, you know, a lot of these firings, the courts are going to throw a lot of this stuff out. It's going to cost the government settlement. It's going to be sorted out at some point. Assuming the Supreme Court even allows that, but some of this stuff is contractual. Like there's, you can't change the law. And this is what Trump and Elon Musk are doing. They're not even paying attention to the law. And congressional Republicans are like, eh, nothing we can do about it. You better believe they'd be doing something about it if it was Kamala Harris doing this. But we don't have the ability to amplify the resistance right now. That's the challenge. And it ain't going to be traditional media. And I'm telling you, the big money progressive donors, the billionaires, they all think the New York Times is liberal media. And it's not. We don't have that machine. Nobody has built that machine on our end. And you and I, Mark, we can't do it. Like, we should be pieces in a broader media ecosystem. That's
right.
The way it would work. That's what they have. Like, they have those individual voices and those smaller organizations that are pushing certain news and information, but it's all part of an ecosystem, and it amplifies itself to the point where it's like, like it's omnipresent, right? Like it yells at you from everywhere.
Yep.
We don't have that.
Nope.
So it puts us at a distinct disadvantage. Now, on the other hand, Trump, he's messing everything up. Like, first of all, I think Trump, he's signing executive orders because it's cosplay at this point. Like, he's pretending to be president, and he's like, oh, I'm going to sign an executive order getting rid of the 14th Amendment. Like, that's not how it works, but he don't care. Because they're right. Just putting papers to keep him like happy. Here, right. Sign this executive order.
Right.
For all we know, he's signing like blank pages. For all we know, and he's like, "Oh, like I signed an executive order, like, right. And like now I'll go golf now." Because he's not Mr. Art of the Deal. He doesn't know how to negotiate with Congress. Like, if you want something to be happy about, their tax cuts are not going to be renewed. Like, it is an absolute shit show in Congress. They don't have the votes. So if nothing else, taxes on the wealthy are going to go back up, because that's Trump's original. That was his only legislative victory. His first 4 years was the tax cuts on millionaires and billionaires. That's not going to get renewed. But
when is that back up?
It's now.
Okay.
Now. I think it expires like in April. Because it's like, yeah. So I just saw the headline. And I didn't read the story because I was coming to come on, but the headline's like, we're not anywhere near close to figuring out how to get these tax cuts renewed. I think I can't remember who it was. Thune, I think. But if he was a real president, he'd be negotiating. He'd be talking to people. He'd be like doing the things that you do if you actually know how to negotiate. Trump doesn't know any of that stuff. Like, so they just put EOs. Musk, the reason he's getting away with it is because nobody's stopping him right now. So he's just going in, demanding access to computer systems, and people are giving them because it's a coup. There's nothing legal about what he's doing. The courts are going to have to shut that down eventually. They're going to have to shut that down. And ideally, it's a broad-based injunction. So it's not like, oh, they finally shut down, you know, efforts at Department of Labor. But he's already moving on to education and moving on to wherever. There's a piece that, so I think Republicans are going to sink themselves. And you're already starting to see that because people did not vote for the Department of Education to be eliminated. Trump said he would do that. Project 2025 said it would do that. That's not why people voted. People voted because price of eggs and Biden is bad. And it is when people, you know, you see a lot of people on our side saying like Democrats need a message and it can't be Trump is bad. And I'm like, no, actually, that is the message for now. Okay, Trump is bad. What was Donald Trump's message the last 2 years? Biden is a disaster. Literally, I Googled it. He said it like 1,000 times. His surrogate said it like 1,000 times. Biden is a disaster. And then whatever. Biden is a disaster on immigration. Biden is a disaster on grocery prices. Biden is a disaster. Mm-hmm. That was it. Biden is a disaster. And when people said, oh, so what's your agenda? Is it Project 2025? He freaked out. No. No, don't give me an agenda. No, not probably. I don't know what that is. I don't know who those people are. And of course, you know, what are they instituting right now is Project 2025.
That's right.
We try to tell people, but they just heard him. And Trump was a very unique historical figure. And I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it again, Mark, but people believed his lies. They did not believe his truths. And then they also filled in the blanks and made up stuff that he was supposedly for. Like, he'll go after healthcare executives. That was like somebody on in the Washington Post said that. Like, she was so happy Trump won because he was going to go after healthcare executives. And he never said that he was going to go. Nobody pretended he was going to go after healthcare executives. So it's a really weird situation. So they believed his lies about Harris and Biden. They did not believe his truths about what he was going to do. And all they heard is Biden is bad and the economy is crap. And that was all it took, right? Because inflation really did take a bite out of people's income. I mean, that's just the reality. So why would we try to muddy things up right now with any kind of message that we can't deliver anyway? Who's going to cover the message? Who's going to decide what the message is? We're Democrats. We don't agree on anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can agree that Trump is bad. So we write Trump is bad. We need to block and rebuild and help us do that in 2026. We're going to win the midterm elections. And then we're going to have a competition in the Democratic Party over what our actual message is going to be. And that's called the presidential primary. And we're going to have probably like 50 people running, Mark. So many people are going to be running. And they're all going to be auditioning their messages. And we're all going to decide. I mean, we may not all get to vote on it because of the primary calendar. But in 2027, we're going to be donating to the people that are actually resonating. And we're gonna shower love and attention and momentum on the people that are doing a good job of communicating whatever our message should be for 2028. And that's going to be our message. So sitting here right now going like, oh, we need a more positive message. Oh, Mark, we have a positive message. Like we're not going to screw you over. Like we're going to help you. We're going to help you buy a home. We're going to help you with the health insurance and education. We're going to educate you. Like we've had a positive message. I don't know what people are talking about. Right now, the only thing that matters is Trump, and he's horrible. And that's going to be the message.
Yeah. So in terms of we're going into 2025, 2026, there is an election this year that's usually pretty important. It's one state. It's Virginia. You know, they do an off-year thing. Mm-hmm. Does that portend anything? I mean, if we look at Virginia, you know, the governor can't succeed himself in Virginia. We had crazy. Mm-hmm. And Michael Steele was on yesterday and he was talking about the importance of that race. Have you thought about that? What's the importance of a race like that? So we stay in shape, so to speak. You know, you don't want to take a year off from exercise and then go back and get.
Yeah. Yeah. So almost always the Virginia race goes opposite of the national. There's always a blowback.
Right.
And so we'll want to see that for sure. And we'll want to make sure there's also election in New Jersey. We'll want to make sure we protect that. Because there's been Democratic governors for a long time. So that might not even be based on national trends. That might just be local politics for people like, let's try something else for a while. Do we have elections? Is it Kentucky this year too? Or is it, I think it's just Virginia and New Jersey.
I'll check.
Yeah, because okay. Kentucky, Louisiana are the other off year.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are going to matter.
I think it's degree. Kentucky was last year.
So we just had a race in Iowa, special election in Iowa State Senate race where Trump won a district by 20 points and a Democrat won the race. We want to see those special elections start flipping and going in our direction. Absolutely. And Trump not being on the ballot anymore is going to be helpful for Democrats. So it'll portend, and it's obviously important for people in Virginia. Nationally, I'll have to say Virginia kind of, it does what it does. Because remember, Youngkin won after Biden won, right? So he won in 2021. Democrats still won the midterm. So it used to be more of a portend, you know, what was happening nationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But politics are screwy now. Like I wouldn't put too much national importance on it, whether we win it or lose it. And we'll probably win it because.
Yeah. And I guess too, to answer my own question, we were saying all last year and the years before how the reversal of Roe brought about decisive wins in every election since its reversal for Democrats. And then all of a sudden we look up and in 2024, it doesn't work, which again.
You know what's funny about 2024, which is we picked up seats in the House. We actually picked up seats in the House. We held Senate seats in most of the battleground states that Trump won. Pennsylvania was the only outlier, but North Carolina, we won down ballot in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Arizona, and in Nevada. Trump is an anomaly. Trump is like, oh no, man. Trump is, he is different. And keep in mind, he made very clear in his campaign that he wasn't going to ban abortion nationally. Like he actually tried his best to negate that issue.
Yeah,
And we don't believe him. But if you're one of those people who care about it enough to vote on in the midterms, but you're a Republican, but you voted for a Democrat, Trump gave him permission to like vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Marcos, you're not as conspiratorial as I am, but you don't know what you enable when you say things like in the Senate, we held battleground states that Trump won. So that's why people are like, so you say anomaly, but others say, yeah, that's why we question it. That math ain't mathing. But I won't even get into that right now.
If they can steal the presidential, why wouldn't they have stolen the Senate races too?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
I would. I mean, if I had that power.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, right. Right, if you're going to do it.
Right, because, I mean, it wasn't the margin wasn't huge. It was very plausible if Republicans had swept those Senate races.
Yeah.
And they'd be sitting right now, they'd be sitting at 58 seats. With no hope for us to retain the majority for at least two or three cycles.
So now, after this weekend, do you regret not running for DNC chair?
No, I don't. I don't want that. Everybody's gonna be yelling at me for like, what's the message? And I'd be like, Trump's bad. Like, what more do you want? I would be a terrible party chair. I think the I forget the guy's name. People love him. Like the state party chairs love him. He's an organizer. He's a builder.
Marcos, that name, I forget the guy's name. Just to even leave with that said something. But everybody loves him.
The state party chairs love him. So he's somebody who has mentored a lot of state party chairs. That's why he won. He's putting a lot of work and energy into grassroots building. That's what we need for a party chair. So I love Ben Wickler, who's a Wisconsin Democratic Party chair. And I talked to several DNC members and state party chairs who said, we love Ben, but what is this guy's name?
Ken Martin.
Martin, yeah. But Martin's been good to me. Like, he really helped me out. He's mentored me. He's helped me fundraise. So I can't hate that. It's not like big money swooped in and some billionaire took the role because he bought the, like, it's not like that. This guy's a grassroots organizer. Yeah. I mean, clearly I'm not like dying of excitement over here, but it could have been worse.
Well, and I think I share with you, I talked to a couple of insiders, who gave me sort of a wake up call and a reality check. They said, Mark, you know, the job is really not the public facing part of it. Mm-hmm. It's Democratic Party chair in years as an opposition party. You got to bring in a minimum $50 million a year.
Yeah.
And I know neither you nor I is at this stage of our lives is interested in that at all. So
no, you're literally spending 10 hours a day on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Begging for money.
And then really, I mean, if you waterboarded us and said, Mark and Marcos, where you gonna get that money from? I mean, we just drowned. Right? I mean, you know, if you waterboarded us, Mark and Marcos, where you gonna get $1 million from? We would be damn dead. Cause there is, you know, so that's scary, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why a lot of people, why didn't this person do it? I'm telling you, when people realize they brought them in the room and said, listen, tell y'all something. This ain't TV. 10 hours a day on the phone, minimum $50 million a year. Mm-hmm. Folks are like, peace. Y'all got this one because.
Yes. And I'm not kidding about 10 hours a day on the phone. This is not an exaggeration.
Begging.
Begging. And can you imagine talking to these millionaires and billionaires and like they're all a-holes, like every single one of them. And they all know better than you. So you got to sit there and like listen to them tell you how everything sucks and it's your fault and it's the party's fault. But okay, great. Now give me some money. And then like it's soul sucking.
Not to mention this, the billionaire culture now is to fall in line with Trump anyway. So I don't even know who you're going to call because everybody's scared. Everybody's like, I want to be with him.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to kiss up at least in this first year. Now, you know, if you know, things, this is... two-party system, the pendulum's gonna swing. We know when midterms are. But in 2025, until maybe even next year, that's a tough nut to crack. So, you know, God bless Ken, wish him well. Hope it works out. Malcolm Kenyatta, a good friend, good brother. You know, we work with whatever we can to do what we need to do. Mm. Now, you've also written something before we go on the trade piece. Mm. And this is interesting because I want people to understand this, you're helping us understand that these trade wars he's engaged in, which also a little bit crazy and wild and schizophrenic. He's threatening one day, the next day he's pulling it back. Let's wait. I mean, just a lot of this looks like show and bluster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know why he's doing that because he can't run again. So we think now. Don't get us wrong, folks. He might still figure out a way to do it.
Oh, they'll try. I'm convinced. I don't think you have to be conspiratorial to think that they'll try to find a loophole.
But tell us how these trade wars are actually going to hurt the states where his base is.
Yeah. So what you're doing is I mean, we're seeing it right now happening with the European Union applying tariff retaliation for things that happened in the first term, right? So these things are long, long running. And what the European Union has done, because Trump put tariffs on steel and other building supplies from Europe, is what Europe did is they're targeting red state industries. So the bourbon industry is getting targeted. And the bourbon industry in Kentucky, 85% of all bourbon is exported. And the top three markets are, you know, big shock. It's Canada, Mexico, and the EU. And so when Trump announced those tariffs against Canada that he pulled back, Canada announced retaliatory measures, and they were very heavily skewed towards red state industries. So orange juice from Florida and appliances from South Carolina, bourbon from Kentucky. Now, the interesting thing about the bourbon thing is that Canadians are so pissed and they still are so... They're getting ready because Trump didn't say we're not going to do them. He said he postponed them for 30 days. They're pulling bourbon from liquor stores. Like Canadians are boycotting American bourbon. That hurts Kentuckians. So you have that level of problems. Now, of course, Canada is a source of almost all our lumber. It's a source of almost our potash fertilizer. And so if you're slapping on 25-30% tariffs on that stuff, it increases the cost for farmers, it increases the cost of goods, it may increase them so much that it's actually cheaper to buy tomatoes from Peru or Chile that are being flown up because they're not being sanctioned just yet. You're making Americans uncompetitive. Throw in the deportations or even the, because we're still not seeing mass deportations, just for the record. ICE is recycling old press releases from 5 years ago, slapping on a new date to make it look like they're deporting more people. Levels are normal as usual. So, but they're scared. They're trying to scare people into leaving. Again, that raises the prices of food because either the crops don't get harvested or they're going to have to pay more for people to harvest them. So uncompetitive. Trump is threatening tariffs against Taiwan. Taiwan is, and by the way, China and Russia are loving this, right? Because this is, Trump is going after our friends. They're going after Taiwan semiconductors. Taiwan manufactures 85% of the chips that we use on computers, phones, anything. Mars increase the price in the short term of iPhones and Android phone, any phones, computers, anything with a screen, which is a lot of things that we use these days. Those prices would go up. And Trump thinks that it's going to force these manufacturers to build in the United States. A microchip plant, a modern microchip plant, takes about a decade to build. Right now, Foxconn is building a factory in Arizona, and it's $60 billion. And even that penciled out because the CHIPS Act gave them a $10 billion subsidy to help make it happen. $10 billion out of $60 billion. Well, Trump's coming in and saying, we're killing that. You're not getting that subsidy anymore. That might be the end of that plan. You know, so because there's math involved. And for Foxconn to make that investment, it had to pencil out. And having the US government pay 1/6 of that cost was probably part of the math that made that possible.
Yeah.
In Trump. So all these pieces are coming into play where Trump is literally roiling our ability to a manufacturer, retailer's ability to have any kind of real insight into what costs will be. Because in tariffs today, no, they're not. Now it's going to be 100%. No, now it's 30%. No, we're going to deal. Now, that is instability. So prices are going to start going up. And I think they have been already. We're already seeing the impacts on the food side of things where supermarkets are showing up without eggs, without certain crops, without certain vegetables and fruits, because farmers don't have the because immigrants are not showing up to work because they're afraid of being raided. And so all these things that Republicans claim, the voters claim that they cared about, you know, grocery prices, prices of inflation overall, like the cost of housing, that's necessarily going to go way up. Not only because of the supplies and the tariffs against the countries that supply us with building goods, but also a lot of that labor, it's undocumented immigrants.
Right.
So we're in for some real rough inflationary waters, just as necessarily. And the irony is that, this is not to say nobody listening can be affected. Mark, you and I are going to be affected. Everybody's going to be affected. But the people who can least afford it, and the people who are going to be most impacted are the people who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of schadenfreude where like, this sucks for me and it sucks for the people I love, but it also sucks for the people that are deplorables. And so like, at least there's that. And so you're seeing these people like, oh, you can't cut my government job. In a lot of places, Mark, you know this, in a lot of low-income places, in a lot of red states, government is most of the jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's not industry. Industry is gone.
Yeah.
So government jobs, government and healthcare are like the two big employers in a lot of these economically depressed regions. People are like, wait, I can't. There's a lot of fat to cut in the federal government, but not my job. You're seeing a lot of this. And so they're going to be affected. You're seeing a lot of deplorables complaining that their drug prices are going back up because Trump revoked Biden's executive order lowering the price of, what was it, 30 medications, including insulin. Prices going back up. People are like, oh, well, I guess I can't afford drugs. I'm going to die. Yeah, you voted for Trump. You voted for the guy who said he would do that.
Yeah.
And so it sucks. It sucks so bad, Mark. But also, in the last time, there was guardrails. There was Republicans in Trump's administration, because he didn't expect to win, that actually put a brake on Trump's worst excesses. And then by the time Trump got wise to it, Democrats had control of the Congress. There's no controls now. The Supreme Court is dramatically more conservative than it was back then. So there's nobody to protect them from their vote. And there's value in that.
Yeah.
It sucks for everybody, but maybe learn some freaking lessons. What about the pro-Palestinian protesters who said there is no difference between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Donald Trump, that they all were for genocide? Congratulations, she's got a real lesson in politics. There is a difference. So I'm hoping this is a moment of self-reflection. Not for everybody. Most people rationalize it. You know, Mark, we were sharing a story where people were blaming Democrats for how bad Trump has been because why didn't they win?
Yeah. Why didn't they do a better job on the campaign?
So there's a lot of people are lost cause, but we only need 10%. 10% of Trump voters to be like, and 10% of non-voters. You do that, Democrats win elections easily moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had hoped that happened, but that would be the hope.
And those of you who didn't vote also voted for Trump.
Yeah.
In a two-party system. You know, a lot of folks don't. But those of you like, you helped. That was part of the vote that helped to set this up. A friend is reaching out to us on Facebook. Very informative. I'm in Arizona and did not know chip plant may be halted. Karen Watkins Bryant posting that on Facebook. So, you know, all of these things are quite revelatory in terms of what we're dealing with. And just one other thing I want to mention, just to show you the grift that's going on here and the corporate grab. I mean, he's now trying to like sell off half of federal government property, which I don't know that anybody can. I don't know that you can just go in office and say you're going to close federal buildings and start selling them.
You can't.
But Marco, but here's the question. I'm going to say two things. There's the land.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's DEI. DEI is a term that's 5 years old, George Floyd. That was a term everybody started using. But DEI is really just the latest terminology for civil rights.
Yeah.
It's like DEI is Obamacare and civil rights is Affordable Care Act. All right. Yeah. So the question becomes, Pam Bondi last night saying, let's go after companies that practice DEI. Wait a minute. Civil rights is the law. Mm-hmm. So how can you prosecute people for upholding civil rights? So, but who's to stop them? Really, we got some judges, even some Reagan-appointed judges. I think Lamberth was one the other night. Reagan-appointed judges, other judges at the federal level, blocking, doing all they can. But if SCOTUS says, no, dude, you can sell off these buildings if you want to. No, you can ignore the Civil Rights Act of 1964 if you want to. I mean, I hear you saying you can't, but with this SCOTUS, he may very well can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a hopeful.
So you can't swirl the screen around to the kitchen, right? We still can't.
No.
Kind of same subject. I'm trying to go back to the house tour, y'all. Stay tuned.
The good thing is that the legal process
next week and do some cooking because he can cook. We may just do the kitchen next week.
The only sort of hope is that the legal process can grind, and you drag it out, then you take control of Congress, and then you can start doing some damage on that side. I don't know. I'm feeling that there's going to be a third impeachment, like. It's almost inevitable. That's just going to be a third impeachment. And
is impeachment on the House, is that 2/3 or just a majority in the House?
No, impeachment is 2/3. It's majority of the House, 2/3 of the Senate.
Right. I don't know. I mean, Al Green, Al Green, I may talk to him later today. Stay tuned. Has already filed articles of impeachment. And he was the first to do it last time, but you know, I don't know if the votes are there.
No. I mean, nothing's happening right now. I would say that now is not the time for that just yet. Like, he's working on that noose. Like, this is so bad. And I'm in Republican, like, I spend a lot of time in Republican forums. They're angry about the Gaza stuff. They're like, I thought America first. Why is he talking about Gaza? Why is he talking about Greenland? So I thought it was America first. They're pissed off about the healthcare stuff.
Right.
A lot of these are older people. Like, older people voted Republican heavily. Suddenly, their Medicaid checks weren't showing up.
Yeah. And where's the money to go literally and rebuild a whole new nation and turn it into a Mar-a-Lago in the Middle East?
Like, yeah.
Send troops and money. I mean, where does that even? How do you just decide we're just gonna go rebuild Gaza?
Yeah. No.
But I also think that part of that is to provoke a war in the region, just to keep, either way, it's a win-win. Either you take over the land and turn it into Mar-a-Lago, or you provoke an ongoing war that Netanyahu and you are able to benefit from. So it's a mess.
And people are angry about grocery prices. I mean, people on conservative forums, like, I thought that cost of eggs would go down, but now they're even higher. People are noticing. And they're saying a lot of, like, this is not what I voted for. There's a lot of that. And of course, we're like, this is exactly what you voted for. Like, quite literally. He's not doing anything he didn't say he was going to do. Like, everything he said he was going to do, he's doing. None of this is a surprise to me and you, anybody. And it gets me, like, just Latinos who are like, I didn't know he hated Mexicans. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, for real. And Mark, like, all he needed to do was watch one Trump speech, because it was all in there. But they didn't even do that. So they just projected. It was weird.
Yeah.
And only him. Nobody else gets that. Only him. It's weird.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Folks, another edition of Thursday Coast on the Books. We always appreciate Marcos. Next week, we'll just take the laptop into the kitchen, live from the kitchen. Do some cooking. Why not? No.
I'll do laptop next week. That sounds funny.
Right. And then, you know, folks, just practice like we do. A lot of, you know, don't let it get you down. If you're smart, you know what's coming. You can probably almost predict the next day, you know, but keep your ears tuned. Listen out for organizing efforts that make sense. Stay informed, stay involved. Follow dailycoast.com. Many of you already do, but shit, so you know, other folks that are going through, say, have you subscribed to Daily Coast? Go check it out.
Mark, we've revamped the newsroom. We got some great writers. We got great coverage of all the hot messes that are going on. I'm writing more these days. Like, it's a good time to go visit Daily Coast.
And folks, be informed. By all means, be informed and stay informed. Thanks, Marcos.
Such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.